Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Yeah, it's just like every week, except I'm doing the intro, which means it's totally disjointed already. Hi, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. If you're a longtime listener, we really appreciate you tuning in. If this is your first time, bear with me, because it's my first time too. I'm Scott, and I'm your host today. Maria is out tracking down other things, and so she'll be here next week, hopefully. Anyway, you'll have to put up with me. 337-8874 is the phone number. Light up the lines. We bought like this really expensive multi-line phone to handle the flux of callers, kind of anticipating some kind of, I don't know, like Rush Limbaugh-ish talk show without the nasty intuish, you know, saying bad things about people. And it doesn't quite happen that way. So light up the phone lines. It's 337-8874. Andrea Barker is here. She's a program supervisor from Department of Social Services, and she's eagerly awaiting your phone calls. Yes, that was a nod. That means yes.
Yes.
In radio. The podcast. All of these shows go up on podcast. They're available for your listening and learning pleasure. And at KXORadio.com. And look for Let's Talk About It. It's somewhere on the left-hand side now. And you click on that and get a list of podcasts, English and Spanish. Or Inglés y Español, depending su preferencia de hablar. And it's there for you to grab and share with your friends. So if you're hearing something today about dun-dun-dun-dun. Adult Protective Services, then, you know, you can share that with whoever you want to in the community. So, again, welcome aboard, 337-8874. This is Let's Talk About It. I'm here with Andrea Barker.
That's right.
Barker. You know what? I almost got Harker from, like, the old Dracula story, so you can shuffle through my head here. Program Supervisor for Adult Protective Services for the Department of Social Services. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well this morning, thanks.
Fired up, ready to do a show?
That's right.
What does the public need to know about Adult Protective Services?
Well, we're an agency here with the county. We're there. What we do is we investigate elder and dependent adult abuse.
Who decided they needed help? I mean, really? Obviously, there was a need for advocacy, right?
Correct.
Somebody must have been bullying their elders.
Correct.
Something, right?
Correct.
And so the state came down and said, hey, let's create a special department.
Correct.
And it's a social service thing because it could be law enforcement, right? But yeah. It's not when it's at your level.
Correct. It's we're through the county Department of Social Services. And we're mostly kind of like Child Protective Services. However, we're for elderly people over age 65
Wait.
Older.
Children need advocates too?
Of course they do.
Ooh. So you get children and adults. Is there anybody left after that?
I don't believe so. No. Well...
Are younger adults covered under Adult Protective Services, or just for elders?
No, dependent adults are as well, ages 18 to 64. However, there must be some sort of a physical
dependent
or mental...
Dependent adults, correct. That was the key word. Huh?
Correct. Yeah, there must be some sort of physical or mental limitation that prevents them from carrying on daily activities.
After
or to
the
where
age,
they're dependent on
when they turn 18. So if they turn 18 and they're... it sounds like they have to be under conservatorship or something. Is it a legal dependency title?
No, just if they have some sort of a physical, mental limitation.
They're 18. That's a mental limitation in and of itself.
Right, but it has to restrict their ability restrict their ability to carry out normal activities.
It does.
Correct.
Come on, 18-year-olds.
No.
Leave home, work, get a job, live responsibly, get 8 hours of sleep a night. They don't do any of that stuff. They're clearly impaired.
Well, we're mostly talking about the ones that have, like, a developmental disability.
Yeah, that's why it sounds more like conservatorship. That's why it sounds more like if my child had developmental delays or some other type of functional impairment related to some disability, then when they turned 18, I would retain their legal rights, right? I would...
There's a process for that, yeah. You have to go through that whole conservatorship process. But power for Adult Protective Services...
It doesn't have to be that.
There doesn't have to be an official conservatorship. There just has to be that dependency upon another person based on your own physical or mental developmental disability.
Okay, I still boss my kids around. Does that count?
No.
Well, they're dependent upon my bossing them around.
No, but they would have to be some
How could they survive
sort of
without me nagging them and telling them what to do?
There needs to be some sort of a physical, either like they're wheelchair bound, they're bound on people to help do their activities of daily living.
So I'm safe. So you can't get me on them, huh?
No, I can't. I can't, no.
Because you're going to ask. So if they called up today and said, you know, my dad is just this tremendous bullying parent, and I'm an adult, I don't deserve that. You'd ask, what would you guys ask?
Oh, well, we would ask their age, obviously. If they're 18 or okay, so, then what?
24, 25, my kids.
Correct. You know, do you have any disabilities? Are you able to perform your daily activities?
Well, my dad thinks I do. Otherwise, he wouldn't be nagging me, right? And then you'd say, describe that disability? Something, huh?
Yeah, we would ask, you know, what the disability was.
Magna cum laude graduate from college.
And not only just that, but, you know, how does it affect your ability during the day? You know, are you able to cook for yourself, to clean? Are you able to carry out your...
No, it occurs to me. Most of these are not self-reported, are they?
The majority of them aren't, no. The majority are actually reported by family members.
Or concerned
citizens
or
agencies that are mandated reporters.
Yeah, right. Because most adults that are that dependent may not be aware of the law, may not be aware they're being abused.
Correct.
May not have a problem with abuse. Who knows?
Exactly. And a lot of it, too, is self-neglect. So, obviously, if you're neglecting yourself,
you can be reported on yourself?
Correct. It's either perpetrated by somebody else or
So, I could call
yourself.
Up and say, I think Joe Smith is being abused. And you'd say, well, like, who's the abuser? And I'd say, well, first you'd prove he has a disability, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Joe's really old and in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. There's a disability. And you'd say, well, who's abusing him? And I'd say, well, pretty much Joe is doing it to himself.
Right.
And you'd say, okay, we're on it?
Yeah, we take the information and we send a social worker out.
Would I have to report the nature of the suspected abuse? I mean, would it have to, like, fit into some category or something?
We do have categories of abuse. However, we just mostly will take the information, kind of see what's going on and talk with that person to try to, you know, ask more questions, what exactly the situation is. For the self-neglect, one of the highest ones was neglecting their own medical care. So either not taking medications, not going to the doctors.
Is this a Christian Science problem? I mean, some people have belief systems that exclude traditional medical care.
Right. We haven't had that many of the Christian Science. However, but that is something that we do take into consideration if it's something to do with their religion. You know, we're dealing with adults, and adults have rights. That's how we're different
No. This is a post-9/11 world. We took those rights away. They're gone.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's how we're a little different from Child Protective Services.
We used to have rights.
So we have to, you know, we have to respect.
I challenge you. Drive to a Border Patrol checkpoint and say, I rolled on your wings like, I've got rights. I'm an adult.
Well, for our program.
Let's see how quickly you get to secondary.
Right.
Like now. Okay. 337-8874. We're here with Andrea Barker. She's a supervisor over at Department of Social Services. And the topic, you know, this is a neat topic. Mm-hmm. Adult Protective Services. And it's neat because, you know, I don't think it's something very many of us. I know about it because I'm, like, working in the field. But but I don't think a lot of us kind of chance across this very often as part of our day-to-day goings on. And yet adult abuse, in terms of the criteria as we define it through the show today, probably is pretty prevalent.
It is.
I imagine it's one of the great unreported evils.
Yes, it's very underreported. Actually, just from last year, just combining all the stats that we did from last year, I figured about 4% of the population in Imperial County, of the elderly population only, not the dependent adults, was reported to us. So it's only 4% of the county population of seniors.
4%. Oh, so 4% of the senior population. What's the real number on that? You're one of those number people. I love it. We're going to have a great show today.
I am. No, we received about 701 referrals last year.
Wow.
Of reports being called in.
And that counts multiples, so...
No, actually, these are unduplicated.
Oh,
ones.
Very nice. Very nice. You are a numbers person. Goodness gracious.
And so the elderly population in Imperial County, that's 65 and older, according to the census in 2010, was 18,000. Over 18,000.
Until I'm graced with 65 years, and then it will be like the new coming of adolescence, okay? Mm-hmm. We're going to take the whole old thing and get rid of it.
Exactly.
No, that's what the baby boomers do. They're so funny.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, more surgery. Nah, sign up at the gym. No, stop, guys. Just enjoy it.
Exactly. Just live life. So it is a very underreported occurrence that happens. And it does happen, you know, often here in Imperial County.
701 times. But we imagine that scratching the surface, it's like an iceberg.
So, I
think so. You know, your 10% is above the surface, and you've got 90%. So you've got 7,000 potentially abusive stuff that's not reported. Maybe, huh?
Possibly.
Okay, so everybody listen carefully, and I want you to think about your adults who are dependent, and that would be mostly your elderly people. However, it could include developmentally delayed regular adults or adults mm-hmm. with disabilities that require some level of
mental illness
support and care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so keep those people in mind, and let's kind of bounce through this. And will we get any sort of commission if we get additional phone calls today to your department? Ooh, okay. So there's no prizes, no giveaways today, but all the, other than the fact that if this actually is going on in the community, you may want to call, because it's really a kindness in a weird kind of rat you out way.
Right.
But it's a kindness because it may save a life.
Right. And there are people that are called mandated reporters, mostly people that work in agencies, that any type of direct contact with an elderly or dependent adult, they're mandated by the state to call us.
Most people who work in those places know they're mandated.
Exactly.
Are there any obscure ones who may be mandated reporters that like, the, I don't know, the dog catcher? Or?
Actually, the animal control is one. I was reading through that yesterday, and that was one that came up. So I think most agencies, like you said, they know that they're mandated reporters. We do try to do a lot of community outreach, going to those agencies, giving trainings. You know, what is adult protective services?
Agencies, we mean, corrections, law enforcement, social services, mental health and education. Those sound like agencies to me.
Yeah, agencies, home health agencies, doctors' offices.
There you go. They're medical professionals.
Right, medical professionals.
Now, does that include everybody down to, like, your clerical or your cleaning people who work for those agencies?
Any volunteer or paid position within those agencies, as long as you have direct contact with the population. So it could be
you thought you were just filing papers.
Exactly. So as long as you hear something, you see something, somebody tells you of a suspected, it doesn't have to be confirmed. It could be suspected, or maybe you just have a gut feeling that something is happening. That's what we're there for, to give us a call. We'll take the report and we'll go out and we'll look into the situation and see.
Okay, bonus question.
Uh-oh.
Does your mandated reporting stop at the door? When I clock out, because I got Kronos now,
mm-hmm.
So I'm cool. Are you one of those badge swiper people, or do you just punch in your number?
No, I'm a badge swiper person.
Okay, I'm a number puncher. Pleased to meet you. when we go off the clock,
mm-hmm.
and we magically, we step into the phone booth, we take off the Superman clothes, or put them on, depending on your point of view, I suppose, and go home and turn on our media of choice, I suppose.
Right.
Do we stop being those people? Are we no longer mandated reporters?
If my neighbor's
acting a fool,
right,
and I don't know this person because of what I do as a profession,
right,
we just have regional proximity,
right.
And am I still on the hook here?
Yes, we're always mandated reporters. We have a 24-hour hotline. You can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So you're saying mandated reporters are mandated to always be reporters?
Correct.
So if I'm in a grocery store on the weekend, you'll recognize me. I'm the one who looks kind of disheveled and unkempt, compared to work in particular. But and I see something in the grocery store that, you know, I don't know. An elderly person has somebody shopping with them, and that person throws them up against the canned food aisle and yells at them and says, "Give me all your money now." Okay. Seems like fiduciary abuse, right?
Correct.
Something like that,
and
huh?
And physical.
Now, actually, the old person borrowed all their money to go to the casino and owes them. No, it's like the loan shark coming to collect. So I would, like, cell phone, call.
Any phone you can, yeah. Any
because
phone.
I'm mandated.
Correct.
I can't just walk away from that.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah. What happens if mandated reporters fail to report?
If they fail to report, there are the regulations they specify there, but they could be punishable by a fine or up to imprisonment. And it depends if you just fail to report. If you fail to report an incident willfully and it ends in death, of course, the punishment is a little higher than...
Right, right. Well, just, yeah. So the old person who I saw get thrown up against the thing,
mm-hmm.
Is the victim of a horrible tragedy and is found dead. Now, their NCIS comes and investigates the crime or mm. something, right? Because they're ex-Navy.
Right.
Oh, you watch that show too. I could tell. My daughter's really into that show. One of the things they look at is they review the videotape of the store. And they see the person, you know, hitting them up for the money. And they see me looking at that with a horrified look on my face and then going back to the Frosted Flakes.
Right.
Now they can use video technology imagery stuff to identify my face, linking it back to my Facebook perhaps, and call me in for questioning.
Possibility, yeah.
And I could report what I saw, and then their next question, you know, Scott, you work at the behavioral health department, aren't you a mandated reporter? Bam.
Correct.
And you're gonna be like, ooh, indeed I am.
Yeah, and just not just that. I mean, being a mandated reporter, of course, it comes that responsibility, but anybody in the community can call and make a report, and you know, just being a good citizen.
Right, right. But mandated reporters are. It sounds like
they have a bigger. Yeah, they have the most.
We've
responsibility.
Been deputized.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's the same as with Child Protective Services. They have their mandated reporters as well. But
so if I see a parent buying too many sugary foods for their kid in the store, can on the phones call, or would you guys say that that's not abuse?
Well, I don't work with the Child Protective Services.
Good answer. That's a good answer, Andrea.
So I really couldn't tell you on that one. But I suppose anytime you can call no matter what. I mean, when you don't have to, it doesn't have to be solved and figured out and known for sure. It could just be
337-8874. Andrea's here, and she's got a gift for handling random questions, and that's really wonderful. So Adult Protective Services, dependent adults. Mandated reporters have to call all the time.
Correct. And if you're not a mandated reporter and you call in just from the community, the information is kept confidential. When we do our investigations, when we go out to the homes to investigate, we don't let them know so-and-so is the person that called. It's kept confidential. So that way sometimes people are afraid to call in because they're afraid of the retaliation.
What if they keep it confidential? What if they call in and say, hi, I'm an anonymous caller.
Mm-hmm. And that's, we respect that. We may ask.
We use our digital tracking information. No.
No, we respect that. We do try to ask at least if we can get a name and phone number. Not so much for to give that information out, but just for the social workers when they do investigate. Maybe they need additional information. They may need to call that person back to get to clarify something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's usually what we use that information for.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's. I could see that being a hesitation point for a regular citizen to report what they think may be elder abuse or adult abuse, because they're going to know who did it.
Right, and that's another thing that we do explain to people that call in to report is that, you know, it's kept confidential for us. If this person guesses that it's you that called in, you know, you can always deny it and say, I don't know what you're talking about. It's not going to come from us that we're not going to confirm that they called. So if they think you know, so-and-so called and they confront that person on it, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, they're never going to know.
Do you
sure.
coach people on that? Because the neighbors who suspect that you may have reported it may say it in a way that catches those people off guard. So do you say, look, we're never going to tell. So if somebody thinks, you know, confronts you and says that we told you or we said something or we said we didn't tell, but it's the house on the right, you know, or
right.
whatever.
We don't, like, coach them per se. It just depends on the situation.
What if they're worried about it, I suppose they would get feedback, huh?
Right.
So they're not going to know who told, are they? And then you'd say, well, we're not going to tell them.
Right. We keep the information confidential. You know, what happens, you know, other than outside of that. We don't have control over it, but as far as our agency goes, it's a confidential reporting.
You know, what are your percentages of false calls or unsubstantiated. Is that the correct terminology here? Like calls that cannot be confirmed.
Okay.
The innocent, shall we say.
The unfounded.
Yeah. There's the correct. I knew there was like.
And there's also inconclusive when we can't tell one way or the other. But.
Okay. So.
We have a lot of those as well.
What's the percentage? You get 700 calls. I love numbers, people. They're like, I'm not going to make up an answer here. I am going to turn to the correct answer.
Exactly.
It's 23.7.
let's see.
337-8874, by the way, for Andrea Barker.
Well, most of our allegations we had last year, they were confirmed.
Wow. And then, so it's a 50% hit rate or what? What's...
I actually don't have the percentage on it, but of the allegations that we closed, of the cases that we closed, the majority were confirmed, and second, they were unfounded, so which meant that there was nothing.
I see. We are staring at a page with numbers on
exactly.
The radio. That's like really awkward. But in staring at that, you've got if you combine the inconclusive, which is we're not sure. However, there's probably something there.
Right.
With the unfounded, which we are sure, and there's nothing there.
Right.
You get more than the confirmed, but not a huge
right.
amount more.
Right.
Now, those are calls you responded to versus calls you received. Some of the calls you receive, you don't...
Right. We don't open all the calls that are received. It just depends on the situation. We always encourage people to call in.
Wait. Depends on the that sounds like really good area. That sounds like a really good area to stop and explore.
Yeah. No. We take all the reports. We will take a report on every call that comes into the office.
Right. Right.
The state has given us guidelines on cases to open, how we proceed after we receive the report.
Right.
So the majority of the cases we do open. Sometimes if there's other agencies involved or the situation's already maybe. Been resolved, the protection issue is no longer there, we won't open that case because there's another agency involved. Sometimes it's just maybe something where law enforcement needs to be involved or sometimes other agencies. And if that's already in place, we'll ensure that that's in place and ensure that it's stabilized, but we just won't open the case. Sometimes they may not fall within our jurisdiction. Sometimes they reside in a hospital or a facility. Adult Protective Services doesn't investigate inside of those. We refer them to the Ombudsman's Program, and they're the ones that investigate inside of licensed facilities.
Okay.
Yeah, so those we don't investigate.
But you'd like to. I can tell by... No, I'm just kidding.
Sometimes we do joint investigations. It depends. And it just depends. That's what I mean. What are some other examples, maybe? I'm trying to think. Nothing's coming to me.
So we can dispel the notion that if you just call, nothing's going to happen. Clearly, the numbers indicate that this enters into a process. And if you're concerned enough to call about your elder, it looks like, just judging from those numbers, that there's a fair likelihood that there is something worth being concerned about.
Correct.
Okay, good. That's a perfect tease. So let's go to the break, and then we'll come back, and we'll kind of talk a little bit more about who you're going to call, what you're going to call on, and then how that would work in terms of how you guys manage the situation in order to keep people safe and healthy. I'm Scott. This is Let's Talk About It. It's 8 o'clock. Go punch in right now and come back and turn on your radios because we got more show coming at you. Be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXOradio.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. I'm Scott. I'm your host today. Maria is somewhere. Longtime listeners, welcome back. New listeners, welcome. The fair is over. You can turn on your air conditioning, and we'll see you in the fall. 337-8874 is the phone number, and we're here with Andrea Barker, and she's a supervisor. Are you guys program supervisor? What's your... Social worker supervisor for the Department of Social Services, who'd have thought. And you work for the Adult Protective Services Program.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And we're here talking all things Adult Protective Services. If you missed the first half hour of the show, we actually called on you. No, we didn't do that. But you may want to go back and catch the podcast. KXOradio.com should be up in 7 to 10 days. Typically, it's like there's like it's like your house payment. There's a grace period. And so it's due on a certain day, but you know, and it goes up reliably within that time frame, with all of this extraneous talking stuff gone, which is really cool. I love listening to myself when all I do is make good points, which means there's actually not much of me in the show. Okay, 337-8874, Reset, Adult Protective Services, welcome back. Hi, Andrea.
Hello, thank you.
So let's kind of go back. We talked about a little bit about what kind of stuff would generate a call. We talked about who should call.
Right.
And we talked about the mandated reporters, which is basically everybody in agencies, everybody in healthcare, everybody in most types of human services, I would suspect.
Right.
So if you're serving
private
humans, what about bank tellers?
Banks are also mandated reporters.
Aha,
a few years ago,
well, I got
yes,
it.
Yes,
nice.
A few years ago that they revised the law, and now financial institutions, people that
because
have
they,
any
that's,
type of,
yes.
the, for the financial abuse, any type of dealings with a person in their
finances.
So it's
not dealing with the public, it's dealing with their money.
Correct.
Which gets the bankers in, because Walmart's not mandated, right?
No.
Check out people. They see some stuff.
Right.
Just put that candy bar down. Oh.
No, they can report as
to your grandmother.
But, yeah, banks are mandated reporters.
But your bigger point, and I think and one you kept trying to kind of make in spite of me, was was that everybody can and should and ought to report.
Correct.
Because we're a community that keeps each other safe, that cares for each other. And when you're reporting somebody, you're not saying bad, evil, abusive person. You're saying, let's keep everyone safe and let's kind of step in right now before it gets out of control, or bring it back into control if it's already out, and keep people safe. So it's really an act of kindness instead of an act of spite or vengeance.
Right. And it's just, it's important. I mean, as a concerned citizen, like you mentioned.
And we all should be concerned. That may be a better point. We all could be concerned citizens. And
right.
if we were, the level of concern would be much higher and we'd all be taking care of each other.
Right. And just, and if we do open an investigation and, you know, we do come to your home to we're not there in a negative, you know, a lot of reports that we get, sometimes the reports that we receive, maybe there's nothing much to them. Sometimes they may not appear maybe to the person that reported
right, but
as severe.
But it's going to feel defensive. I mean,
exactly.
Put yourself in the person's
exactly.
shoes and you,
right.
you know.
Exactly.
Sorry, Mario, I'm not supposed to knock on that. People coming at the door and with badges, there you go, with badges. Yeah, you can tell on the soundtrack. With badges saying, hi, we're here to ask if you, what do you guys walk in the door and say there's been an adult protective services complaint filed and we're here to ask some questions, or do you just kind of NCIS it and say, we'd like to ask you some questions?
No, again, the situation, you know, of course, we're going to talk with the victims, whoever the person is that's being suspectedly being abused. We have to identify ourselves. You know, we're social workers with adult
protective
services.
Not your purpose.
Eventually, I mean, we let them know that there was, you know, a report.
That's pretty much
these are what the concerns are.
Yeah.
And when
you say adult protective services, that's pretty much
right.
announcing the purpose, huh?
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and we discuss, you know, with, you know, all the involved parties that we need to discuss with. A lot of times, you know, we'll take other agencies with us. Sometimes we don't go out just on our own. If there's other agencies involved, we'll do joint visits. Sometimes we'll have to take law enforcement with us, depending on the situation.
What type of you've got your own kind of abuse criteria, and we may want to cover some of that just so people get an idea about what they should call on or keep an eye out for.
Right. The types of abuse, actually, here, the ones that are perpetrated by other people, it can be anything from physical assault and battery. You know, they see somebody hitting somebody, pushing somebody.
Beating up your elder.
Yes.
Or beating up your dependent adult.
Right. Physical constraint.
Would that include yelling and screaming and
that's
verbal
one.
Beration?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a whole new category.
That's a whole new category. But, yes, psychological, mental abuse, verbal abuse. That's another situation.
Come on. It's psychologically abusive just to have wrinkles. I'm sorry.
Physical constraint is one. Sexual assault.
So tying them up and duct taping them in their chair.
Right, like an unreasonable physical constraint. That's depriving them of food or water when they need it. Right.
Ouch. What if you got somebody with cognitive decline, and you make it harder for them to get out of the house and walk away?
That's abusive.
Is that abusive or is that safety?
It can be both. I mean, it could be. It would be something to be concerned about to call.
That would be an interesting investigative point, wouldn't it?
Right. That would be something you could call on. Just that little gut feeling that something may not seem right, you know, give us a call and we'll go out. And that's when we would investigate to see, is this something that's abuse? Or maybe sometimes it could be something that a physician may have ordered. Sometimes restraints sometimes are ordered by physicians.
I'm thinking child safety gates and hallways to avoid the person opening the door and exiting stage left.
Right.
You know,
there's
so that's kind of that's kind of an in-betweener, huh?
Yeah. There's also sexual assault, like I mentioned, chemical restraint.
How common is sexual assault? Well, because first of all, it's going to be a hard one for third-party reporters to see. Let's start there.
It's common. It's not real common. The largest population where that would usually happen are the ones with developmental disabilities. They may have a harder time expressing themselves. Maybe they're nonverbal. Sometimes people take advantage more in that category, or that area of.
Again, it would be harder to detect. That was kind of
a third person
calling in to report something.
Usually somebody will mention something if they're nonverbal.
Are there any warning signs for nonverbal people that maybe stuff's not good?
I think it's just the people that are with them all the time, 24 hours a day. They understand how they communicate. Maybe there's something off. They're not acting in a typical way that they normally would.
What about the people who are with them 24 hours a day? Wouldn't they be the most likely perpetrators? I don't know. Ultimately, they've got a really unique position of trust.
Right.
That you'd have to kind of be pretty, I guess the whole life scan thing comes into play here, huh?
Right. That's true. They're the ones that are closest to them. A lot of them go to other agencies.
Well, because isn't sexual abuse is typically not stranger danger. It's typically people you know, right? I mean, just in general, it's, I think, 80-20 people you know.
Right. Yeah, and it's not just the actual, you know, it involves everything. So it sometimes there's incestuous type
everything
situations.
that which shall
I'm
not
sorry.
Be described on the radio.
Exactly.
No, that's okay. That's much safer for me. Thank you.
So, but other things that you can also consider are, like, with medications, sometimes over or under medicating a person, maybe not giving them their medications or giving them too much of their medications. And the largest allegation that's investigated is just the general neglect. Somebody else is failing to provide their food, clothing, shelter, medical needs, health and safety hazards. Financial abuse is also a large one. There's abandonment.
But they have a TV. Hmm? I gave them a TV before I left. Isn't that's not abandonment? They've got novelas. Come on.
Right.
You saying that we need social contact?
Of course. No, abandonment's a little bit more than that, but that's willfully forsaking.
That could be neglect, though, huh? Just like putting them in a room with a TV and not paying any attention to them.
Yes, it could be.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially if they're bedbound or they're unable to get around. They're dependent on somebody, and they're not providing the needs that they have for them.
They have social needs, and they're restricted in their ability to get out and around, then you kind of should have some way of getting people into them. If you're responsible for their care.
Right, and allowing other agencies to come in to provide care. There's agencies where they can go out to socialize. There's like the day out programs. There's other agencies.
Yeah,
that they can go out.
Elderly people aren't necessarily into that timing. That's part of the whole thing. Well, I don't really want to do that. So okay, interesting. What other categories?
There's isolation, isolating them within the home, which you kind of mentioned a while ago, not letting people talk to them on the phone or allowing people to come in to visit, kind of isolating them. Abduction doesn't happen often.
Fortunately.
And the other, the mental and psychological abuse. Then there's also the self-neglect.
You know, let's stop on mental and psychological abuse, because that's one of those really kind of who knows what that means categories, right?
Right.
When you're catching these things, what do you light up on as potentially psychologically abusive stuff? What really rings high scores on your point thing?
Well, a lot of times it does involve more like, too, like with the verbal, the threats, intimidation. You know, like you mentioned, the majority of the abusers from last year that we found were family members. And so there's somebody, again, that they trust. They're providing care for them all the time. People sometimes can use that position in this person's life, you know, threatening them.
If you hear things on the phone that sound like bullying, then you're already kind of,
Right. And then there's also the yelling, you know, getting in somebody's face and yelling at them.
Sometimes dependent adult care could be pretty frustrating, though.
Right.
And some people have less frustration, I mean, tolerance, I guess, than others.
Right.
And yelling is a frustration management mechanism. Is that fair?
That's right, I guess. I understand what you're saying.
It is! No, it is. Clearly it is. So, but you'd have to go out to those people, and if it wasn't something bigger, badder, or worse, you'd have to say, yo, right. Alternative strategies here.
Right, and sometimes it's just that it could be, you know, caretaker stress. Try to get other agencies in there, or maybe get another person in there.
Hello, we're in the middle of a recession. There's exactly. All this money stuff going on. Grandma won't turn down the air conditioner. You know, right. I could just imagine all sorts of moments that could lead to yelling.
Right. And then when it's your own family member, sometimes it's their children, adult children. Now they're adults now, and, you know, it could have been happening.
And they didn't want you back. Oh, no. No, maybe they didn't, you know, maybe they actually were nice enough to take you into their home, but now they're struck with, now they're facing all these additional responsibilities, it's a financial drain on them, or, what you know, whatever. I could just see that being a mess.
Right.
So, and that's the new, you know, we used to have models of economics and models of society that had the old people, you know, getting cottages and going to Bermuda or whatever, I don't know, something. But it didn't involve moving back into their kid's house.
Right.
Not nearly as much.
Right.
But that's more common now because of the housing bubble, because of economics, because of, you know, retirement. Retirement is no longer more like an income. Like, so you still have your job and you're still getting your paycheck, except you're not working anymore. Mm-hmm. It's more like subsistence money.
Right.
And it's hard to subside, so you move in with your kids and you're losing, you know, especially as you begin to lose some of your physical abilities or your ability to care for a house or your desire to care for a house every day. And so all of a sudden you're knocking on your kid's door going, eh, remember when I sent you through college? Guess what? It is totally payback time.
Right. Or a lot of times the children will move in.
And the kids are like, no, I want to be a carefree young adult or raising my family or whatever. I don't want to be old person supervisor. and so I could see there's lots of frustration there.
Right.
And sometimes these are forced choices. Sometimes families don't have additional resources or supports in order to manage situations, right? I mean, so part of it's that.
Right. And you know, that's one of the main things that we try to go into do is just to offer those resources for the elder or dependent adult and also for the families as well. Try to hook them up with something that's going to try to alleviate the situation, if at all possible. One of the things too, that's different from for adult protective services, like I mentioned before, you know, we are dealing with adults. So as long you have the right, so I guess some of the limitations of APS that we may have, unlike child protective services, we're not able to go into the home per se. And remove somebody from a situation. You know,
would you really want to?
No, we wouldn't. I mean, our goal is to keep
you'd
them in
a receiving home for elders, for people with adult dependency needs.
Right, but that's like a misconception, I think, you know, sometimes for adult protective services.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, obviously our main goal is to keep people in at least.
What I'm going to do when I'm 65 and I'm going to get dependent upon my kids, and then I'm going to call up, we'll stage this. I'm going to call up with a really good complaint. And I'd like to be placed in Oahu, Hawaii, please. So you can take me and remove me from my evil, nasty kids who've got me, like, in their spare closet and put me on the beach in Oahu with coconut, with straws and tropical umbrellas in them. And, yeah?
No, sorry.
Oh, come on. It's the taxpayer money. That's why I'm paying all these taxes, so I can have like a cushy post-work moment. No?
No,
not happening?
Not happening.
Ooh.
But no.
337-8874 is the phone number. Andrea Barker, Department of Social Services, Social Worker Supervisor. Adult Protective Services is in the house. What about fiduciary abuse? Money, 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 money. Some people got to have it. Some people really need it.
Right.
Do people rip off dependent people? I mean, dependent people don't have that much money, frankly.
Right. But, no, it happens. Elders and dependent adults, of course. Even though they mostly elderly and dependent adults, they are on a fixed income, like you mentioned. They only get so much every single month, the same amount. However, it could be family members. It could be friends. It could be a caretaker.
Where's the line on that? Because some old people or some dependent people or some both wish to be generous with their meager earnings.
Right.
You know, their little SSI checks. I got $800, man. What do you want? I'm going to buy you something. And you're like, why don't you pay your rent? but some of them do want to be generous, and then some family members are poor. Right?
Right.
I mean, this is not a rich community.
Right.
Well, it's rich in spirit. And so you've got people hitting people up for money, which happens in families all the time.
Right.
With varying degrees of coercion.
Right.
I mean, just the fact that I'm your son should be coercion enough, frankly. I shouldn't
right.
have to lean on you.
Right.
Just,
and like
I'm your boy. Come on.
And like you mentioned before, I mean, as long as you know,
I'll pay
the
you
person
back.
Is able to make their own choices... you know, we all have the right to make whatever choice we choose to. If you
but they're being badgered. Let's put
right,
it that way.
There is that undue influence. I guess that's the big
there
word.
You go. I knew you had an official
yeah.
term for it.
You know, but that's, again, you know, that's really hard to see sometimes.
Is
you know, sometimes, if you know, the person may befriend them, their friends, they trust them. They rely on them. They're their sole caretaker. And
yeah.
then it kind of start, you know. Start
or they're my grandchild.
Things. Correct. Or family members.
Right.
And right.
So I'm going. So I'm not going to. When you come, I probably will downplay.
Right. And that happens the majority of the time. Or it's not happening. Or I want to give this person
yeah,
the money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know,
cool.
We have to go by, you know, with what they say. You know, we do talk.
Are there fair and reasonable fiduciary expectations sometimes? I mean, like, let's say you've got an SSI person living in your home, and some of that money from their SSI check goes to support the home, housing expenses, electricity.
Right. That's reasonable. That's a reasonable expectation.
93% of it.
It depends on what situation
you're living
they
in
have.
A really expensive
right, exactly.
home.
I mean, you know, that whatever arrangements that they make up, if the person's comfortable
I'm
with it, they're still
taking their entire
needs.
SSI check, and then I send them up the street to get recyclables out of other people's recycle bins.
Right, that's not reasonable.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
Okay, so I told you kids, you can't do that to me in 10 years. I will not pick up your empties.
Right. But, you know, we go out there, we investigate any of these allegations, but ultimately, the person does have the right to choose how it is that they want to live. Some things are a lifestyle choice, and it's the way that the person's been living for a long period of
so
time.
So whereas children aren't allowed to decide to accept and live with their abusers.
Correct.
You know, adults, if the abuse is within the scope of the law, right? I mean, so long
right.
as laws aren't being broken.
Right.
Because if you find broken laws, you'd have to deal with that. I mean, you couldn't
right,
just say
cross report to law enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't just say, "Well, I'm sorry, adult. It's actually technically against the law, but we're going to let it slide because your person's okay with it."
No.
No.
We have. Yeah, we cross report to law enforcement a lot.
Are most adult protective services that abuse but not illegal stuff, or is a lot of it illegal? That's a non-number question. I know. is there kind of some of both?
It's some of both. I mean, varying degrees as well. So, you know, we may cross-report something to law enforcement. You know, financial abuse, if it's confirmed, obviously that's a criminal activity. We would
extortion.
Cross-report
or something.
Yeah.
Huh?
Physical assault, of course, is. I mean, the majority of the allegations could be.
Have,
there's an aspect of it where it could
yeah,
be
yeah,
criminal.
Yeah, psychological abuse typically probably wouldn't. Yelling at somebody.
Right.
And it's kind of battery, but
right.
Not so much. So how many times, so sometimes adults choose to be okay with it.
Right. A lot of times they do choose to remain in the situation. You know, what we try to do is try to go out there, offer them, you know, all the resources that are available
to
them.
Are most situations lacking some support regardless of how okay they are? Is that fair?
Right. Yeah.
Because you can always use more stuff.
Exactly. And sometimes with the self-neglect cases, the people that are neglecting themselves, maybe they don't feel that there's a problem. You know, they feel that they're doing fine. You know, all we can do is go in and offer the things that the services that are going to improve their situation if they choose, you know, not to.
How many, what kind of proportionality, what percentage is more or less? You can just give me a guess here. Are self-neglect?
You I'd probably say like maybe like, it's probably close to 50-50 actually.
Probably, you're probably right on. You could just see you doing math in your head. Okay, so that's a fairly high number of self
right
people. So you can be called out for abusing yourself.
Correct.
Bang. There you go. which is typically related to lack of self-care.
Right. Either physical care, you know, your food, clothing, shelter, medical
right,
care,
right.
Health and safety hazards.
Right. Dad's refusing to go to the doctor, and we can't make him go, and
right. Not
we're eating. Worried he's going to die.
And also, there's also the financial abuse aspect of that as well for your finances. You know, not managing your own funds correctly.
I can't get Dad to leave the casino.
That happens sometimes, you know. I mean, it could be for any number of
reasons. But well, and it's interesting because I guess the whole dependency thing really plays out there because independent adults can blow it wherever they want, right? I mean, I'm not dependent that
right.
I know of right now. Maybe somebody's got me on a list, but so in theory, I could drain the $23.43 in my savings account today, mm-hmm. and go buy lottery tickets,
right?
And nobody could call me out, right? Even if I wanted, you know, even if I needed a gallon of milk,
right?
Okay, but dependent adults are under a different standard, it sounds like.
Well, I mean, you're still able to spend or do
imprudently.
As long as you're mentally competent. It hasn't, because we have that whole issue of mental competency as well, is where, you know, if you're having some memory type issues, if a court declares you not able to make your own choices anymore, that's when they fall into a conservatorship, like you mentioned earlier. A lot of times we'll get cases where there is a question of mental competency. You know, we have to work with the doctors. You know, we refer to other agencies that may be able to.
And we're not talking 18-year-olds that.
Right. No.
Okay.
No. Yeah. We're talking like dementia.
Seriously, medically identified cognitive impairment.
Exactly.
Issues.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I'll take my vitamins and pray. lack of medical care. We live in a world where medical care is now portioned off according to our economic status. There are people who have really good jobs, who have insurance, who don't have enough money to seek medical care because their deductibles are really high, because their insurance coverage isn't very good.
Right.
We have a significant number of people who don't have insurance. And then we used to have Medi-Cal, which was like the insurance everybody really wanted to have because it really seemed to be much more effective than their paid-for insurance locally.
Mm-hmm.
Kaiser is not in town. But now that's been significantly dialed back, too.
Right.
So how much is the healthcare crunch playing out in your adult protective services world? So, you know, you call me out as a self-abusing elder, not taking care of myself because I'm not going to health care, and I can't go to health care because I can't have access. I don't have enough money, et cetera.
Right. That was, you know, one of the biggest self-neglect issues that we did look at last year. And it could range from many things. Sometimes not wanting to take medications or... again, maybe it's just more like not wanting to go to the doctor as opposed to not being able to get to the doctor.
Well, I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want my electricity to be turned off. How's that?
or not even just for the financial aspect of it, just not wanting to go. They don't like the doctors. Maybe they're afraid to find out something's wrong with them.
Have the changes in Medi-Cal coverage, because most of your dependent
right.
people have Medi-Cal, correct?
Correct.
So have the changes in Medi-Cal coverage created uncreated situations yet? You know,
I know.
A person whose mouth is perhaps dangerously infected,
mm-hmm.
who can't get dental care because their Medi-Cal doesn't cover it. Bam.
Right.
And they can't go to Mexico because their stuff's not arranged. They don't have money for a passport or whatever.
Right.
What do you do?
Well, specifically identified, no, we don't. I mean, I'm sure it happens. We've had the big scare recently with the state talking about the adult daycare centers.
We had them on 2 weeks ago, by the way.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah. About losing
catching
them
on the
as
podcast.
A facility. Yeah, and so that was a big thing that was going to, you know, that would have affected.
That was your support plan for all those people were APS reportees, and that was like your
well, a lot of, you know,
care plan.
Yeah, it's a support. It's for
sure.
support for the caregivers as well as socialization for the person themselves.
It sounded like a blast.
Right.
We had the people in here talking about their program, and we tried to sign up, and they turned us away. Oh.
Yeah, it's just being resourceful, trying to find either providers referring, you know, for in-home services, maybe finding somebody that can take them to their appointments. Family members, sometimes, you know, they have to have, like, family meetings just to get together to say, you know what, dad or mom isn't able to afford this anymore. You know, we need to pitch in. You know, how are we going to do this? Sometimes we call family meetings together and talk to the families to see what resources that, you know,
nice.
Can come up with. So
nice.
we work with not only agencies, but families and friends, neighbors, try to get whatever support we can in there for that person.
I trust you so much more now. Andrea?
Yes?
Extreme curiosity, when it meets a very, very informed person, could go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have that kind of match today. Because, honestly, I could do another hour show right now. My head's full of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Would
you like the hotline number?
I think that's where we should go from here.
Okay. Well, just anybody, like I said, before anybody can call, we have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline number. And that is 760-337-7878. So anytime 24 hours.
337-7878. Love
it.
It's got like a ring to it. It's almost our radio show number. So if we get any calls, we'll pass them forward.
Okay.
Any other quick thoughts out the door?
It
seems like we covered a lot of stuff today.
I think so.
How was that for you? Was it the radio experience?
It was an experience. No, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Looking forward to coming back?
Sure. I will.
Sure. Sure, she says somewhat non-convincingly.
Yes, I will.
All right.
Anytime.
Andrea, thank you for coming. Well, in spite of your personal feelings about doing radio, thank you for coming aboard today and being so informative and so patient with me and giving the community something that may be really, really helpful. So we look forward to seeing you again here on Let's Talk About It. As we look forward to everyone tuning back in and listening next week, Thursday, 7:30 in the morning, to Let's Talk About It and catch us on the podcast at kxoradio.com. On behalf of the executive producer, Mario Espinoza, I'm Scott Dudley, the host, with Andrea Barker, the guest, wishing you a wonderful weekend and be safe.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by kxoradio.com.